you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And it goes on. We started talking about this last week, and I thought it was going to be a one-service message, but again, I started meditating further on what we talked about last week, and it started expanding. In fact, it hasn't stopped expanding. So, I was up again at 3 o'clock this morning, just revelating and writing down. And what we started talking about last week was this term windows. You remember last week's message? We're going to do some reviews so everybody can be up to speed. It doesn't say, I'll open to you the window of heaven or a window of heaven. It says the windows of heaven. So we started talking about windows as plural. There apparently is more than one window. And we said it could be that each of us have our own window, our own portal to heaven. A window, I believe, represents to us a portal, a passageway, right? God said he would open it up to us. And it could be each of us have our own. Praise God. If I have my own window, I want it open. If it goes to heaven, I want it open, right? I want the doors closed to the devil and the windows open to God. But also we talked about maybe each of us have more than one window. What if there's a window that will bring healing into our life? Window that salvation passes through. A window that financial blessing is available to us through. Maybe we've got to open each of these windows, you know, through faith in what God said. Could be. If so, I want them all open. I don't want a single promise of God unclaimed in my life. Then we talked about this. What if these windows are stacked? You remember this? What if it's a stacked set of windows? And we went to Philippians chapter 4 to describe what I'm talking about. So let's go there again and review. And I'm going to try not to get bogged down too deeply in this, but if I don't spend some review time, some of you have forgotten what I said last week and others weren't here. And it's important we see where we're going. Philippians chapter 4. And verse number 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, we talked about this as being God's acceptable thought filters. In fact, I call it a filter bank. It's a set of filters that when you're thinking anything, you've got to make sure it aligns with what this verse describes. Right? In other words, what you're thinking must first be true. If you think about lies, you're going to get in trouble. Let me share a spiritual principle with you. When you entertain lying, you lose the ability to discern the truth. Scripture says, having rejected the truth, they received a lie, and their foolish heart was darkened. Right? So when you refuse to guard the truth with everything you have, you become susceptible to deception. And all of a sudden, once you are willing to entertain lies and even tell lies for your own purposes, like many politicians, all of a sudden, you can't tell what is the truth anymore. And that's why you hear so many politicians spouting out lie after lie with a straight face, because they can no longer tell that they're even lying. They've lost the ability to discern truth. And so you've got to guard the truth. What's everything just? Is it justified? Is it equitable? Is it fair? Is it right? You can think on that. If not, you have to cast it down. Now listen, we mentioned this last week as well. Because Paul said, think on these things, it's therefore possible to control what you think. Most Christians don't know they can even control what they think. If it jumps in their head, it must be God or it must be some great idea. And if it comes in their head, you know, I need to think about this. No, we should be controlling what we think. First of all, is it true? How many know the Word is true? Right? The Word is truth. So if what you're thinking does not align with the Word, then you have to reject that thought. And how do we reject a thought? We cast it down. Remember 2 Corinthians 3? Chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. That we are the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imagination and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have a responsibility to cast down thoughts that don't align with the Word. And if you're having trouble casting it down, then just speak the Word. If you speak the Word long enough, it will replace that thought. And I'm telling you, thought control. Not me controlling your thoughts, but you controlling what you think. Take some effort. That's really the area that spiritual warfare takes place. We've got so many Christians trying to pull down principalities and cast down this power and that power, but their thoughts are running amok. Their minds become the devil's playground and don't realize they think up there is the battlefield when in here is the true battlefield. We'll see this as we get into this morning. And if you can't control what you think, you can't control how you live and act. Amen. How many have ever had to battle unforgiveness? Let me restate that. How many have never had to battle unforgiveness? That's easier to count. We've all had to battle rejection, offense, unforgiveness, right? And how many know that you've forgiven people because the worst is to forgive? You forgive them, but then it rises right back up again. You know, a voice says, but you know what they did to you, and there you go rehearsing the entire thing again. Every offense, everything they said and did, next thing you know, you're mad again. You know what happened? You didn't control your thoughts. When that thought came, you just said, no, I've already forgiven. I cast that down and speak the Word instead. You would never have to go through the entire cycle of being mad again. So we have the ability to control what we think. Amen? And if you don't, all these wrong thoughts rise up. All these wrong feelings result and these wrong actions take place. You cannot control your life if you cannot control your thoughts. So Paul described this set of filtering, thought filtering areas that you got to be willing to guard what you think with regard to, right? And these are like a filter bank. For example, if a thought comes to you, you got to realize, is this true or not? If it's not true, cast it down. If it's true, but it's not honest, cast it down. If it's not just, and it's got to go all the way through all 8 of these filters to be an acceptable thought. So we drew a picture up here last week of this filter bank. And in fact, I've got a filter system at home in my garage that's designed to take, where you're working in a shop, to take dust out of the air. And it's got a set of filters on it. It's got a screen to start with, just a kind of a fairly coarse screen to take anything huge out. Catches it right there. If anything gets past the big screen, then it goes to a finer mesh that catches the next particles or objects. If it gets through that, then it goes through a dust bag that's very fine that catches even fine sawdust. So that by the time it goes through, and in fact, I think there's an electrostatic filter in between as well. By the time it goes through these filters, the air coming out is fairly purified, fairly cleaned. You follow me? Well, it had to go through all those filters to finally reach the final stage. So, we drew up a set of filter banks. Oops, I don't want to start there. Now, in this case, I'm not going to write the labels in at this time. We label this filter whatever things are true, right? And we said, you've got all these thoughts coming at you. Well, all he's doing is revealing. You get ready, you're going to see some stuff this morning. We're going to have some fun. I love it when I get excited about the message. Amen, when I'm revelating. You've got all these filter, these thoughts coming at you from all different sources, right? From you, God, the devil, even other people are speaking to you. So they'll originate thoughts. So it's got to go through the true filter. If it passes through that, then it goes through. Is it honest or just? Honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, be any virtue, be any praise. You see that? If it gets through this filter, then you say, is it honest? Now what happens is in each step, some of these thoughts are cast down. So that by the time, and you have the responsibility personally to monitor what you're thinking. You can do it. You can at any time say, what am I thinking about? In fact, you should be doing that. If you really want to go into the anointing, if you want to go into the power of God and into really the love of God. You got to control what you're thinking. You got to monitor it. And if it passes all these steps, it makes it through everyone. It's both true, it's honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report, but it's virtue and praise. You can think on it. You know what that's going to mean your thoughts are going to align with once you're done with that? It'll be a small segment of the original thoughts that all align with the Word. Do you see that? But it's a set of stacked filters. So what we brought out last week is it says in Malachi, God would open the windows of heaven. What if these windows are stacked? You remember this. So let me draw that up here. Did anybody take notes last week? Have these written down? You can read them to me. The first one was salvation, right? Then tithe. You can't get ahead of me. Seed. Faith. Forgiveness. That's a big one, isn't it? Jesus said in Mark 11:25, you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Confession. My board's bouncing. And the last one I know is church. We're commanded to be in the church. I want to erase this a minute. I added one, divine order, covenant. We could go on and on with these. And with an arrow coming out. And I want the arrow coming out to be as big as the arrow going in this case. Because we label this God's blessings. You remember this. And we label this, we'll call this blessings. Well, let me change it. Manifested. Blessings. Let me change colors. And what we said was, we're going to call this the third heaven. Spirit realm. Right? We're calling over here the first heaven. That'd be the natural world, right? The natural. And our goal, if you're a revivalist, if you want God's blessing on your life, your goal is to receive every blessing of God you can, everyone He's assigned to your life. Receive it and manifest it in your life. Does anybody want that? I want divine health. Have it, right? I want supernatural financial blessing. I want my marriage blessed of God. My children blessed of God and serving God. I want the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I want the devourer rebuked. I want every blessing the Word promises me. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Blessed in the city. You don't have to turn there. I'm just saying, blessed in the field. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessed everything you put your hand to. In fact, Psalm says the one that meditates the Word day and night, that everything he puts his hand to will prosper. Everything you do, it shall prosper. I want that. Prosper means it's just going to be blessed. Abraham was blessed of God, and everything he did produced. Amen. And the number one thing I want to manifest as far as God's blessing is I want to walk in supernatural love and the manifestation of the glory of God. I'm after the love of God. Do you see this? Well, all of these things all originate in the realm of the Spirit. It's all in heaven, right? But we know our goal is to receive heaven's blessings into our life today. And we said, well, to get from heaven to earth, heaven to our life, it's got to pass through a portal. We've talked about this before in terms of a window, right? It's got to get from the third heaven to the first. It's got to go through this window to get to us. And we've talked about, you know, that tithing opens the windows of heaven before. That if you don't tithe, your window's closed. God can't get anything to you. But I know a lot of people that tithe, but their life is a mess. Do you follow me? So we started talking about this set of windows. We're going to call each of these windows. In Philippians, we called it a thought filter, but here it's a set of windows that you need opened. And here are some different steps that you got to open to see it happen. First of all, if you want the windows open in your life, you need to be saved. You don't have a covenant with God until you're saved, right? Until you're born again. You must be born again. So guess what? I believe you can tithe, you can sow, you can, you know, forgive people to the best of your ability, but if you don't know Jesus, you're limited what you can receive from God. Amen. So salvation becomes the first window it's got to pass through. Have you ever seen these cameras with the multiple lenses on the front, you know, the color filters? And you can change the filters out. Well, think about this, is that God wants light to pass through to us, blessing in every form to pass through, but it's got to go through these different lenses, that if one of the lenses is blackened out, nothing passes through. I've got gel light. They're called gel lights. They have these colored filters on them that each one has a different color. Well, actually, I've only got two colors up right now. I've got different colors in my office I can put in them. But if I was to put a black one up, it doesn't matter what colors are on there. If I put black in front of it or in anywhere in the passage, it shuts down the light. Right? Well, if we black out any of these windows, it shuts down the blessing. So we talked about you need to be saved. You need to be a tither. You need to be a sower of seed. Remember, we went to Haggai and God said, is the seed yet in the barn? I can't bless you without seed. Jesus said everything works by seed time and harvest. Right? Parable of the sower. And we know without faith, we can't do the impossible. Without faith, we can receive nothing from God. Without faith, you can't even please God. Right? Hebrews 11:6. So we need faith. We need to be able to believe what God has said and stand on it. Now, we're not going in depth to each of these this morning to teach on them. We're just going to touch on these to make the points we want to make. And then we found out as well in Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, he talks about having the faith of God and speaking to the mountain. And verse 25, he says, you must be willing to forgive. If you don't forgive, if you can't access forgiveness, it shuts down everything in your life regarding faith. No mountains are going to move. So what happens is, you black out, you virtually put a barrier. When any of these you don't do, you put a block in the way of the blessing of God. Do you follow me? Confession. What do we mean confession? We're not talking about confessing your sins in some little booth. We're talking about what are you speaking? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Your words carry authority. If you speak the curse, you will receive. Even if you're born again, you'll still receive the curse. Amen. So you must be willing to speak the word. Holiness, it says in Scripture, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You cannot walk in open, blatant, intentional sin and manifest a very high level of the blessings of God. You might manifest a piece of a gift here and there, but you're not going to walk in the blessings. Amen. Holiness is required to manifest. Now we're going somewhere. Church. Well, I don't think we should have to go to church. Well, you should talk to the writer of Hebrews about it because he said that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is. And so much more as we see that they're approaching. And then he says in the next verse, for if we sin willfully after we receive knowledge of the truth, there remain no further sacrifice. So if you sin intentionally by not going to church, not having any kind of church connection, I'm talking about you miss now, and then I'm talking about you're just not going. Or you're going so sporadically that you know it's wrong. It shuts down God's ability to fully bless you. I just don't believe all that. Well, talk to the Word. I'm not sharing anything not in the Word. Amen. And then divine order. Psalm 133 says the anointing flows from the head down to the foot, down to the skirts of the garment. If you can't live a life of divine order, recognizing God's got his own government system in the body of Christ, if you're a person of rebellion, it shuts things down. And we could add umpteen more of these. Here's the point I want to make. Well, I know a lot of people that have sowed a lot of seed, but they haven't manifested. What are they doing with the other windows? I know sister, you know, church a lot, and she went to church all the time, and she tithed, and she died, and she had faith. What was she doing with the other windows? Was there unforgiveness in her life? It's amazing how many people carry unforgiveness, and it shuts things down. What are they doing with holiness, divine order? What words are they speaking? See, it's not enough just to do one. So many people want to focus on one window and say, I'm working everything I have on this window. I'm of faith. I speak the word. I believe. I meditate. I've got faith. Yes, but what are you doing regarding holiness? What are you doing regarding forgiveness? Do you follow me? So don't let anybody tell you, hey, I've focused on this one window and it didn't work, therefore this kingdom activity doesn't produce. It does produce. But we've got to become professional window cleaners. Window washers for God, right? You got to be able to look through your life and look through your life regarding these different things and see, do I have any dirty windows? Because it blocks the blessing. Now listen, maybe the window is just kind of dirty. It's only blocking some of it. You're getting some blessing. I want the whole blessing. Look at Philippians chapter 3. This is a verse I love. Philippians chapter 3, are you there? Verse 12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul says, I'm not perfect. I know there's not a person in here can honestly say you're perfect. Neither was Paul. I mean, we can take some great relief in that one. He says, but I follow after. He's after perfection. That I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, Christ is after me for perfection. Don't tell me that God just loves you as you are and you can do what you want to and it stays the same. Yes, God loves you, but He expects you to go toward perfection. Will you ever make it? Unless the glory drops, no. Amen. The glory hits, the glory will fix a whole lot of stuff, believe me. But we're not going to make it of our own efforts, right? But we're to be chasing after it. Never settle for where you're at. Never say, I've tried this and I've tried this and here's where I'm at. I'm just going to be like this. This is me. I'm going to settle for it. Never settle for acceptable where you're at with God. Always be going for more. We call it a satisfied dissatisfaction. I'm content where I'm at, but I'm not stopping. Are you getting anything out of this morning? But then he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm pressing. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, even where I'm at, I'm not perfect. And I'm pressing toward that mark of doing it better than I did yesterday. Tomorrow I want to do better than I did it today. I want to follow God with more intensity. I want to walk with more, godliness and holiness than I ever have before. I want to manifest more anointing than I've ever even known possible. I'm going into my future, refusing to settle for yesterday. Now look at this next verse, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Wait a minute, wait, he said he's not perfect. Now he's saying, as many as be perfect. He's talking about you have the desire to be perfect. It's actually a different Greek word, slightly different. You want to be perfect. You're chasing after this. Be thus minded. What minded? You're willing to press. Anybody here willing to press toward Jesus? If you're willing to settle where you're at, you just got stuck in the mud. Well, I'm comfortable here. You're not to be comfortable. You're to be anointed. And my job, again, is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And if in anything, look at this, and if in anything, say anything, ye be otherwise minded, in other words, you're not after perfection, if anything, you're not walking where you should be, if anything, there's a flaw in your life, or just call it, there's a dirty window. If in anything there's a dirty window, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you will go to prayer, God will show you the contaminated windows. But we make a mistake when we think we don't have to pray and find out what these are and see God. God, show me myself. Show me what I need to adjust. And we think, well, I'm just okay because God loves me as I am. You're walking into it. You're about to walk off a cliff. Amen. You're okay where you are today, but as soon as you settle for where you're at, you shut down the Holy Spirit advancing you in the kingdom. Now let me show you something else. Some people have a different mentality. This is, as we talked, remember our series on hypergrace? Let me show you the hypergrace chart. Here's God's blessings. There's only one filter with them. And there's one filter called love. I don't know if that red is showing up on the camera or not, hopefully. There's one filter called love. And what they say is, all I just do is I know that God loves me and I walk in love. And that way God blesses me. Well, let me show you. Go to Romans chapter 13. Let me slow down and show this to you in the Word. Romans 13. Are you there? Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Hey! It says when we love one another, we fulfill the law of God. That means when you love one another, we'll just read through it and it'll tell us. It says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment as briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is a fulfilling of the law. Now it sounds like here, all we need to do is love to fulfill everything God has for us. Do you understand that? You know what? That's true. Person walking in love will not commit adultery. They'll not steal. They'll not kill. Amen. Love fulfills all the commandments. And it sounds like that's all we need to do is just walk in love and skip the rest. But let me take this a step further. Go over to 1 John chapter 4. Let's take a few steps here. Baby steps. First John chapter 4, are you there? Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. How many know that's a great commandment? For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. So when we walk in love, we walk in the fullness of God. Right? Now go to John chapter 1. Not 1 John, but John chapter 1. Oh, you read this at the beginning of service. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now it says in the beginning was the Word, and everything was made by that Word. Who is the Word is talking about? Jesus. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, right? When Jesus came to earth, He was physically the manifestation of the Word and the manifestation of love and the earthly manifestation of God. Do you see this? So when Jesus came to earth, he was love. He is God is love, right? But he's also the Word. That Word tells us we've got to forgive. That Word tells us we've got to go to church. That Word tells us about divine order. It tells us about seed time, faith, confession, tithing, and salvation. Is this not true? See, love manifests is actually the full manifestation of the Word in somebody's life. If you walk in love, you're walking in the Word. If you walk in the Word, you'll walk in love. I'm not talking about following the commandments, I'm talking about living out the precepts of the New Testament. Is everybody with me? Therefore, you can't tell me you're walking in love unless you're doing all of these. You can't walk in sin and tell me you're walking in love at the same time. Love fulfills the commandments. How are you walking in sin and it's still love? Here's what's going on. They're thinking if they'll just try to be nice people, be patient, understanding, if they'll just try to be tolerant of everybody around, that's love. That's not love. That's human effort to produce acts of kindness. That's human efforts to try to somehow replicate the attitudes of God. Love is only possible to allowing the Word to totally transform every aspect of your life. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. It's the most powerful force the earth will ever know is the love of God. And you cannot produce it through human efforts of just trying to be nice. What this love is a placebo of the real thing. Because if you're not in church, you're not following the precepts of the kingdom of God, don't tell me you're walking in love. You're walking in deception. Amen. And holiness is a big one. God can see your sin, and He'll convict you of it. And if you start hardening your heart to God's conviction of sin, guess what? He'll lift His hand, and you'll think you have peace. I'm just walking in love. You're walking as a tool of the enemy, with no ability to really manifest His blessings. So, this actually, to do this, because people say, I don't do all that, I just walk in love. Then why do we have the rest of the Bible to instruct us on life if all you got to do is just pick one verse, I walk in love, and you can ignore the rest? This is walking in love. Now, shall we take it further? We've got written up here a third heaven. We've got a first heaven. Now, I know some of you may be mathematically challenged, but what do you think falls between the two? Yeah. Winter, right? Oh. Second heaven is where all these other things take place to some level. I'll explain that in a minute. And what do we call the second heaven? The soul realm. The soul realm. And all of these center ones all come back to and focus on what takes place in the soul realm. specifically in our own minds. The soul is made up of man. The soul of man is made up of his mind, his will, and emotions. But it resides in the second heaven. Now, I understand some of this is new to some people. We've talked about it in here before at length, and we don't have time to go into all these things in depth in one hour. But we found out that man actually abides in all three heavens. Where's your spirit man located? It's in the third heaven with Jesus, right? With the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Word says you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Your spirit man has spirit-to-spirit communion with the Holy Spirit. Your spirit man lives in the soul, in the spirit realm. Where does your flesh man live? The body. First heaven in the flesh realm. Not only that, you have senses that detect the first heaven. You have senses to detect the third heaven. You can hear the voice of God. God can give you visions, right? Your spiritual senses you learn to utilize. But also, you possess a soul, man, a spirit, soul, and body. The soul is not your spirit. The soul represents your mind, your will, and your emotions. And it has residence and senses in the soul realm. The thought where thought and emotion have voice. And the soul realm is where thought takes place. Now again, when Satan was cast out of heaven, heaven being the third heaven realm, right? Where did he take up residence? He was cast down to earth, but where did he take up residence? In the second heaven. Do you see devils here now? But I will assure you there's one or two that have slipped in. Amen? You don't see why. They exist in the second heaven realm. And as being those that operate in the second heaven realm is the realm of thought and emotion. What are the devil's number one tools against people? Thought and feelings. He attacks their feelings and he attacks their thoughts. That's why you've got to be willing to filter your thoughts and even cast down what you feel. I feel like killing somebody. Well, that's probably not a good idea. That probably wouldn't be godly right now. You got to control what you feel. And the devil is the master at projecting false thoughts at you, or projecting lies and even false feelings. Well, your spouse doesn't love you anymore. You know, they don't like you, or the pastor doesn't like you. You got to know to cast that down. Amen. There's only two, three people out here I don't like, and I'm not saying that. I'm just teasing. I love everyone. Cast it down. So the second heaven is where our mind abides, and our will, where we make decisions. And what I want to show you this morning here, what I want to show you here is all of these, all the many. Many involve physical action. How many know holiness involves physical action? What are you doing? Confession, physical action. What are you saying? Going to church, physical action. But all of those physical actions originate by winning the battles in the soul. You don't tithe till you get the revelation of tithing. You don't live in holiness till you get the revelation of living in holiness. Living in holiness is a result of a decision of the will to override a desire to sin, or the temptation to sin, right? So every one of these is a result. Follow me. Remember we said the second heaven is the battlefield? Every one of these is a result of having won battles in each of these specific areas in the realm of your mind. I'll let you think about that a second, because I see wheels turning. Don't get ahead of me. I got more to cover. Every one of those is a battlefield that you're renewing your mind to the Word to be willing to follow through and do in the physical. But you don't do it in the physical till you win the battle in your thinking. So what happens is, I'm revelating as I'm speaking, God's blessings want to go from the third heaven to the first. They've got to pass through our decision-making processes and in the second. But guess what? what causes all of these to be able to allow this to pass through is the Word. As you allow the Word to transform you, remember Romans 12? You transform by the renewing of the mind. As you allow the Word to transform your thinking, your decisions, all of a sudden the Word purifies all of this. And God's blessings flow out. You want to know what else takes place? Just want to throw this up here. Whoops, I should have drawn an arrow. That's an ugly arrow. Love comes forth. Faith worketh by love. The Word changes you to love. See, watch this. The Word changes your thinking, changes your responses, changes your attitudes. Love results. As love results out, blessings flow across. Is this okay with you guys this morning? Can we take it a step further? Go to Matthew. I think we have another book here. Matthew. This is what happens when you just ask God to show me how your kingdom functions. You just, this came to me last night working on my roof. And Leon said, are you going to work on that tonight? I said, no, I'll get up in the middle of the night and do it. Well, I went and took a shower, sat down. I was getting stuff in the shower. I had to go write it down. So I wrote a bunch of stuff down last night. And then woke up at 3 in the morning and had to write more down, which will probably be next week. We haven't got time to get to that this morning. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me redraw that arrow. I want to give a name to these. Keys of the kingdom. You want the kingdom manifest in your life? There's keys. Now, we've talked about the kings being spiritual principles, right? Not a natural set of keys. They're spiritual principles, spiritual guidelines, laws, that if you'll do it, you'll get the result of that principle. Right? You tithe, God said He'd open the windows of heaven over you. He'd rebuke the devourer. Pour you out a blessing, you can't contain it. So all of these, plus many more, become the keys of the kingdom. Principle of the first step. Praise and worship. We could even add praise and worship as one of these up here. Thanksgiving. You can't be thanksgiving, nothing's going to flow into your life. Have I stretched you too far this morning? These become the keys to let this pass to here. And then Jesus said, I'm giving you the power to bind and loose. You can control what passes into the earth. Remember He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, by the keys, whatever you block up, blocks up. Whatever you loose is able to flow through. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. You want to see something else? I'm like an infomercial. And order two today. Order in the next 10 minutes. Third one is free. Now, some of you will probably guess ahead, but each of these is opposed by the enemy. How many of you try to win a battle against the devil, and in any of these areas, he's going to try to stop you? You're trying to forgive, he's trying to bring unforgiveness. You're trying to go to church, he's telling you reasons you don't have to go. Well, not you, you're special. Notice the sarcasm in that one. You don't need to speak the word. God knows your needs. You don't need to live in holiness. God knows you're just human. He'll always oppose everything. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Now, Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is singular love. But these other eight are manifestations of the love of God. So, our fruit of having the Word change our thinking, we activate the kings of the kingdom, is all this fruit. But back up a few verses. Well, look at verse 16. But this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. How many know as long as there's warfare within you, it's going to be difficult to do anything for God? You'll be wavering. You got to let the spirit man win. But it's opposed by the flesh, and the enemy operates through your flesh. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As long as those things are operating in your life, they block up God's blessings, His inheritance from reaching you. That's talking about more than just salvation. It's talking about even accessing the blessing. It's talking about more than just going to heaven. It's talking about you can't receive of your inheritance. Why? The works of the flesh gum this up. So what I want to show you are the works of the flesh sin. Wrong attitudes, most of these are wrong attitudes or wrong actions. They gum up your ability to be blessed. Go back to Matthew 16. Are you still there? No, Matthew 16. And we talked about the keys of the kingdom, didn't we? Look at verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here's what these are called. Gates of hell. I did a teaching a year or two ago about the soul realm and about how the devil tries to throw unbelief into your thinking, gets you opposed to the word, and we call that the gates of hell, trying to block the word. That's what these are doing. Same thing. When the enemy, listen, when the enemy can attack any area of your life, The one he tries to attack nowadays with people is holiness. It's a big one. If he can block this out, it became a gate. Now, I have some engineering background, a lot of engineering background, and did a whole lot of piping design. And one of the predominant valves used in piping, you got them all through your house properly, are called gate valves. You got a spigot outside, chances are it's a gate valve. You turn the crank, a little gate comes down and shuts down that water. What happens is the gates of hell block some area in our understanding from acting in the fashion we need to act for the blessings of God to flow into our life. It shuts a window. The gates of hell are like shutters to the window, just block the thing off. And nothing passes through. Notice it doesn't say the gate of hell. A lot of times when I think about the gates on the past, I always thought of a singular gate. The gate of hell. It's not gate, it's gates. These all become potential. Listen, these become keys of the kingdom, but each one is also a potential gate of hell. And the keys of the kingdom, remember verse 19 is the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom overcome the gates of hell. Because guess what? Before you were saved, every one of these was shut. You didn't have a single one of them opened. But as you get after you get saved, guess what? One opens. You learn to tithe, another one opens. And as you spend time in the Word, God deals with you to open every one of these, sometimes repetitively. Open these up. Why? To get the blessings of God flowing fully into your life. And I want that. Y'all quieter now. Did we just go too far in one morning? We've broken this up into five parts. Can I go one more verse? Probably where we're going to go next Sunday morning. Let me find my Psalm 24. I love the Word. If you haven't guessed. And God's unveiling all this stuff to us in the end times. How to control this battlefield. We've been groping around for 2,000 years trying to find out how to battle the enemy. What do we do? How do we serve God? And God's revealing now how to become an effective soldier for Christ. Can somebody say amen or oh my or something? Amen. That's why I wanted to catch this on video. Verse 8. Well, no, let's back up. Oh. Go to verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Remember the blessing? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. And righteousness from God, from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Here we see it's the people that really seek God. Not just play church games. Not just trying to, you know, serve him mechanically. They have a relationship. Verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift, O ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Do you see this? Who are the everlasting gates? We are. Follow me on this now. We're going to do this in closing. Follow me. The enemy has gates of hell that affect areas of our thinking. As we get in the Word, we learn the keys of the kingdom. We then apply these keys. We open every one of these gates, every one of these. We get rid of his gates. We prevail over them. We open up all these windows. Love flows out of us. Blessings flow through us. And we become the gateway for heaven to touch earth. And who are the ones? Do you see how this ties together? Oh, glory to God. We become the passageway, the gates for God's blessings to flow to earth as we walk in love by letting the Word transform our thinking and our actions. And it's the generation, it says, that seek Him. This right here, may be one of the most important messages I've ever taught, if we can get a hold of it. I'm teaching at the Word Rally Friday morning in July. This will be the message. Unless God changes it, we're going to do this at the Word Rally. Because this explains things to us. How do they tie together? I have to know how things work. How does it tie together? How does this assembly come together? And God's showing it to us. We serve an awesome God, don't we? Well, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, for a church getting a hold of your Word, applying it in their lives, refusing to be overwhelmed, be frustrated, to give way to the efforts of the enemy to trip them up. I thank you this church has nobody sick. Nobody dies before their time. Nobody in pain. Nobody in lack. We decree it. Thank you for your blessings flowing in us individually and corporately. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Church tonight at 6 o'clock.